Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Everybody, if you don't mind, let's move quick to our seats, if you don't mind.
Just thank you, Pastor, and give honor to you and to this great, great meeting that has meant so much to me throughout the years. Sister Mickey, what can you say about that? How can you follow something like that? And I believe you've been here for a long time today. But I'm just going to do what the Lord asked me to do. I'm not going to be lengthy. I know you're hungry, and I am too. So we're going to do this together for a few minutes here. If you bear with me, I'd just like to read from the book of Exodus chapter 12. And I give honor to all my friends, my dear friend, like my own brother, Pastor Mike Williams, Bishop now. Love you very much. I don't know if my splash brother is around here somewhere. He ought to be. I don't know where he's at. Todd Johnson. Amen. Somewhere here. Where? Where? Oh, right there. Yeah, there he is. He's my splash brother. He's clay, just to make it clear. But I love him very much. I'm going to read this text from Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And look at this. And with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. I'm going to talk to you, just maybe tap into what Sister Mickey Manga just spoke to us in such a way that we all were touched. And my subject is just bitter sweet for a few moments here today. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we already heard from the beginning to just now. I know we've been here for a long time. But we are so thankful that we have heard from you, every speaker, every preacher. It's just spoken directly to our lives. God, give me now the anointing for the next few minutes to convey what is in my heart. I just want to be a blessing and an encouragement to this congregation. And all the glory and all the honor is unto you. Clap your hands one more time and give him praise as you are seated. An English writer, Charles Dickens, wrote a book in the 1800s, and he titled it The Tale of Two Cities. The iconic phrase on the book is, "It was the best of times and the worst of times." And I personally believe that that phrase accurately describes the times that we are living in, because at least for me, the last 3-4 years, I could say, have been the worst years of my short 64 years living in this world. In 2019, I had a surgery. The doctors removed two tumors that I had developed in my vocal cords. Every Sunday after finished preaching, I go home and I could not hear myself talk. Suffered with that for weeks and months. Finally, got to the doctor with my wife, and he diagnosed that I need a surgery to remove those two tumors. They were malignant, it was cancer, and of course, when you hear that word, your whole world just crumbles down. There was a moment of tears, it was a moment of praying, and then in 2020, the whole world came to a screeching halt. COVID-19 pretty much, as being already said, it stopped all the activities in the whole world. We were forced to close the doors of our church in California, and we all went through a very, very challenging times, at least, but we made it. We made it. And then 2021, I had a second surgery in my vocal cords. I just went for a normal checkup. We still were under this pandemic thing, and got to the doctor, and he checked me, put the cameras to my nostrils, went down to my throat, and he said, uh-oh, the tumor started resurging. How can I let you go home? I said, well, I need a repair. He said, no, don't go. We're just going to have to get into surgery right away. So I called my wife, and I go home. I'm going to stay here. The doctor says he needs to get in there and remove it again. So again, they went in there, did what they supposed to do, and then it was weeks without able to talk. Like the first time, I was almost 2 months without saying a word. It was a time of pain. It was a time of tears. It was a time of loneliness where really you just don't know what to do. And you get into the office and you house and you throw yourself in the carpet and just let the tears just flow out of you. And now and again, one more time, went through the same procedure and the vocal cords and the blood, and you cannot eat anything, just drinking liquids, and that's all. And again, going through those times where, Sister Mika, you said it, what do I do? And then in May 26, 8 months ago, I received a phone call at 2 a.m. And it was my son letting me know that a fire alarm went off in the church building and that I needed to come. He says, just get up, don't drive too fast, just get here whenever you can, as soon as possible, but just be careful. So I got up, got ready, drove to church. And when I got there, what I saw, it was just it was so shocking to me. The building was just involved in just in flames, engulfed in flames, and just fire trucks everywhere, and TV stations, and and you say, what's happening? What's going on? What am I going to do? And I have said all of these, not seeking pity or sympathy or even empathy, but I just giving you my testimony so I can encourage somebody here today that in the worst of times of my personal life, the church right now is positioning herself to have the best of times, the greatest revival the church has ever seen. Because from May 26, when we didn't know we're going to have service Sunday, it was on a Friday that took place, all of these things. And there I am all day standing outside the building, seeing all the things going on, and church people showed up, and then my daughter and my wife and my grandkids showed up, and we all just stood there looking at what's going on, tears rolling down my cheeks, people crying, and at the same time, praising the Lord and praying, and all of these things going on, and not knowing what's going to happen on Sunday. Even one of the TV stations asked me, where are you going to have service Sunday? And I said, well, I don't know right now. And all of a sudden, the mayor of the city heard what I was saying, and he called immediately and got in touch with my son, and my son came and told me the mayor's calling and says he's making available for us to have service Sunday at the art center of the city. It's 2,000 people. He says he's making it available. So I said, well, tell him thank you very much, and just do whatever you have to do, make the arrangements and announce that we'll be there at 10 o'clock Sunday. And I'm not knowing really what was going to happen. At that moment, my mom just was not there. I was under a lot of hurt. I was in pain. I was confused, as you can imagine. And then Saturday all day just thinking and praying and seeking the face of the Lord. Show me what I need to do. And you know what? The devil plans it for our evil. Some way, somehow, the Lord turns it for our good. And we went, and this art center, when I got there with my wife, to my surprise, I walked in there. It's a building that sits over 2,000 people. It was full completely. People that I never knew, people I haven't seen in church in months and years. Everybody showed up. All the leaders of the city, all the TV stations were there. My God, I said, Jesus. And as I walked to the pulpit, I began to preach the word of God. And since then till today, it might not mean a lot to you, but it means a lot to me. 96 people have been baptized in water in Jesus' name. And 76 been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We We are in the pace to see the greatest revival our church has ever seen yet. And it's a mixture. And this is what I want to show you. And I'm going to be very briefly. Can you help me out with this? And just remove that. Because it really is a mixture of the sweet and the bitter. Every time we come to, because of the times, and we go to eat Chinese food and the little place here, it's just a tradition. I've been coming since 1990. So I missed one since 1990. Last year I missed it because these bodies are in decay. We're not incorruptible yet. So there's still, we get some illness. And I had a stroke in November and due to ischemia, and it has to do with a blood circulation. And I'm just like you, I'm healthy. I'm cycling with my splash brother. We do 25 miles. I thought I was invincible. And then, boom, a stroke. But, you know, he's still in these bodies, and we're going to see those things. And all of those things are just, when the Lord says, I want you, to, Moses, I want every household to get a lamb and prepare in such a way. I want the lamb to have a side dish of bitter herbs. That's not the main course, but that little play there, those bitter herbs are going to be part of that communion table. And you know, that's one of the things that sometimes we don't understand. My favorite dish is sweet and sour. When I go to this Chinese restaurant, sweet and sour chicken is my favorite dish. And I asked the cook, not here, but when I was in California, how you get that taste that is sweet and sour? And the cook told me, well, you have to mix 70% of the sweet sauce with 30% vinegar. That's the way you get that sweet and sour taste. You had to put more sweet sauce than vinegar, because the sweet sauce neutralizes the bitter of the vinegar. And you know, I that stuck to my mind. And when I read this text that I just read to you, and the instructions that God gave to Moses, you got to eat the lamb, but you have to have that side dish. And what I wanted you to get here today, there are some bitter side dishes as we walk working for the lamb. Because that's what we're going to do. We're going to please the lamb. We want to submit to the lamb. We want to do the work of the lamb. But while you do that, there's going to be a side dish. It's unavoidable. It's going to be there. You cannot circumvent certain things in life. This is part of life. In life, you shall have afflictions. Those bitter herbs are going to be there. And all around this place, preachers, pastors, missionaries, we all been through there. As we do the work of the Lamb with all of our heart, giving ourselves completely, all of a sudden there's a bitter dish of bitter herd served to us. All of a sudden, we don't plan it, but it happens. And you got to get that. But the key not to get bitter is to keep eating the sweet of a lamb. That's the key to it. You get a negative doctor's report. Oh, when your church building burns down, when the person that you love walks away from your life, when you lose a child tragically, when it seems like all hell is breaking loose, when it seems like your prayers are not reaching the throne of God, what do you do, Sister Mickey? What do you do? Let me tell you what you do. You don't give in. You don't give up. You don't stop. That's only a side dish. That's not the main course. It's only a side dish. And what you gotta do sometimes is you get up on a Saturday and you go after the church building had burned and you walked up to the pulpit and you gotta open your mouth under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and with tears rolling down your cheeks, you gotta preach the word. You gotta tell, we're gonna make it. God is with us. That's only a side dish. We got the main course, Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God is with us. And the best days are yet ahead of us. The greatest revival is still ahead of us. Don't get stuck on the herbs. Bitter herbs is only a side dish. That's not the main course. That's the main course. You don't quit. You don't throw in the towel. You get up and you keep praying. And you get up and you keep preaching. And you get up and you keep teaching. And you get up and you keep worshiping. And you get up and you keep discipling people. You keep doing what God called you to do. Martin Luther King Jr. says, if you can fly, run. If you can run, walk. If you can walk, crawl. But whatever you do, keep moving forward. That's just a side dish. And there is David, the man after God's own heart. He was deeply hurt many times, and he didn't know what to do. When his generals, he was a loyal warrior to him, died. Abner was killed by Joab. He is there, hurt, crying. He didn't want to eat. He was under emotional distress that we heard plenty about that. And he was at that moment in his life where he uttered the words in 2 Samuel 3:39. I am weak. I don't feel good right now. I don't feel like I'm getting up there and keep leading. I'm in pain. I'm hurt. But even when I feel that way, I'm still anointed. That's what you gotta say to yourself. Oh God, I'm in pain right now. I'm not feeling very well, but I still feel the anointing of a lamb. I still got the lamb on my side. I'm not doing this by myself. I don't understand what's going on, but I trust you, Lord. I keep walking by faith. I keep looking unto the invisible. I know this is gonna go away again. When it seems like the things are going around you, go from bad to worse, you need to remind yourself that even that you are grieving, that even that you have some sleepless nights and in days, you got days without eating, that even though people that you love turn their back on you, in those moments when you feel like the loneliest sparrow in the housetop, you need to remind yourself, I'm still anointed, oh God. I still, the Holy Ghost is in me. You need to remind yourself time and time again, I still got it in me. And you go, yeah, you're eating some bitter herbs. I see friends of mine, when Brother Davis came here to the front, when Pastor called him and stood here, I went afterwards, I don't know if he's here today, but I went and hugged him, and I told him thank you, because when the building burned, he was one of the first person that called me from New York, and immediately I went back and thanking him and all the things that he did for me that day, and Pastor called me. He was with me as well. But he called me. He's my friend, Brother Davis. We were growing up in New York. My brother-in-law is here somewhere. Pastor Jerry Arango from Virginia. And we were just kids. I was 18. He was probably about 12 or 13. Growing up there in New York. I remember going to church with Brother Davis. And he looked at me and says, "Where time is gone. 45 years ago, we were there. Together, he was, you know, leading the youth of the church and doing all those things. And all of a sudden, here we are today." And I told him, "What's going on in your life? I cannot even relate. You are stronger men than I am." I told my brother Howell the same thing. He's stronger than me. They both are stronger than I. I don't know what would happen to me if my wife of 42 years died tomorrow and it's gone from my life. I don't know what would I do, to be honest with you. I see my dear friend, Brother Mike Williams here. He's my brother. I love him that much. What you went through, nobody knows in this place. But us in the car driving through San Francisco, I saw you how you broke. I saw you how you cried. You touched me so deeply because the bitter herbs of life. But in those moments, you got to remember the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, the Lamb. Oh, yeah. Oh, remember that also. This is so sweet to trust in Jesus. I said, this is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take it on His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus. How I trusted, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. You gotta trust Him. That's the Lamb, the sweet Lamb of Jesus. You cannot get stuck eating those bitter herbs because you're gonna become bitter. And the only way to get out of that situation, you gotta keep going to the Lamb. You gotta keep eating the Lamb. And when you kneel down to pray by yourselves, that's why you do it. You're having communion with Him. You're loving Him. You're telling Him. You're talking with Him. And things begin to change. Because He is the one that neutralizes all those bitter herbs that we had to eat while we're working for Him. He is the one that changes all. I don't care what you're going through today. Maybe we got preachers here. They come fighting all kinds of things. Eating a lot of bitter herbs. I've been there. Because when I got my license with the United Pentecostal Church 36, 37 years ago, oh, I was excited. I applied to start a home missions church there. And we all excited. But after 36, 37 years of pastoring that church, there's things that I didn't sign up for. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't know. A lot of bitter herbs. My goodness, this and that. But the thing that keeps me standing this day is because I learned that when that happens, when you get a negative report that you got, I was going to put the picture up there, but I decided not to, because the vocal cords looks ugly, those tumors there, and the doctor gave me the pictures, but I decided not to put them up there. But when you get a negative report and the thing that you have a passion for, and you tell Jesus, all these years I've been using this voice just to preach the gospel Sunday after Sunday, locally and globally, oh God, what's going on? You then you gotta eat some bitter herbs, but after you do that, don't stay there. You gotta go to the Lamb, and He has the answer. He has the thing that you need at the moment. Nobody else can help you, but the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ, our sweet Jesus. And sometimes you just have to bury, and I'm just leaving my message alone. I got so much stuff to say. No, I'm going to stop. I know you say preach, but these people here tell me I'm hungry. And I got to listen to them too. I know you're the pastor. I submit to you. And thank you. Thank you, because you were there for me. He is my pastor. And I thank you for that. Those phone calls. When I was by myself, not knowing what to do. And they were the pressures of fighting the insurance companies and trying to get money from them. They there to get the premium, but when you need them, they're not there for you. And you know, you don't know what to do. There's bitter herbs. And you got to get lawyers. You got to do that. You got to find a building. We're going to put the church at the top services. And it's not easy to find a building. And all of these things going on, and all of a sudden, the nicest structure that you have, the nicest building that you have, and all the things that you have and well organized, is, goes away, goes to nothing. There you are, Lord. I felt like David. He fought so many battles. He killed the lion. He killed the bear. He killed Goliath. The first time he killed Goliath by himself, he just took a stone and took a slingshot, walked up to the valley of Elah, and just fought him and killed him by himself. He was young. He was strong. He had a lot of energy. But now, many years later, he had to face a second giant named Goliath. And you don't know when that second is going to show up. Sometimes we got plans. Well, I'm gonna finish. I'm 64 years old, but I'm thinking of transitioning, you know, like everybody else. And I'm gonna do something else. This is gonna become the pastor of the church and just kind of planning. But you gotta be ready all the time. I don't care where you are on as far as this ministry and walking with the Lord. You need to be ready. Because there could be that another giant is going to show up in your life. I wasn't expecting this thing to happen to us. I never in my farthest dreamed something like that. But it happened, and now I'm facing another giant. And Goliath didn't kill the second, and David didn't kill the second Goliath by himself. He needed some help. And the warriors were around him. And if you read the scriptures, I'm not going to read them, but it's there. It says, David and his warriors killed that giant. And they told him, I don't want you to come out to battle anymore because we don't want the lamp of Israel to be quenched. He was already stricken in years. He was, you know, he'd not even had the idea that another Goliath was going to show up, but he did. You don't know when this thing is going to happen. But when it happens, you better be ready. That's why you can't take a break on your prayer life. That's why you don't go on vacation on your relationship with the Lord. You got to stay prayed up. You got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. You got to walk in the Spirit all the time because you don't know what you're going to face the next day. There are some bitter herbs that we're going to be eating all the time. And thank you. And our superintendent, Brother Bernard, talked to us the first night after Pastor preached so powerfully. And Bishop and Pastor Gentry, wow, you did a phenomenal job. Those opening remarks were incredible. It was powerful. And I texted my wife. I said, you don't know. Pastor Gentry, I told him Gentry to but I said, Pastor, here before we know you're the pastor now. But I told my wife, Gentry, did a phenomenal job tonight. She says, no, I know. So that's good. She knows. And I'll tell you what, I was so touched. And then Brother Bernard came talk about partnership. You gotta have two people in the boat, at least. Thank God I got another. I got my splash brother in my boat. I mean, you need somebody that you can talk with, that you can share things, somebody that can encourage you, speak words of faith and life into you so you don't go mental distress and all that stuff. Thank God I haven't got there yet. Thank God for that. I feel for those that go through because it's real. I got friends that are going to counseling about that, and it's real. And if you're going through, we already heard what you need to do. But thank God when you have somebody in your boat. I got Pastor Paul Paymer, my friend. He is in the boat too. And you hanging on, but you coming. He just grabbed to the side. He's been with us. He is my friend. And we together. And we talk about revival. And we talk about doing kingdom work. And we laugh and we play. And we got our times and our days. And you need that. Yeah. Especially when you are under all this stress that is around us with all this stuff going on. But thank God for partners. Yeah. Thank God for those that you can pray with. You can cry with. You can open up your heart and say, this is what's going on in my life. And if you don't have it, you better get one. Put somebody else in the boat of your ministry. Get somebody else with you. Somebody that can lift you up when you are down. Somebody can push you forward when you want to stay stuck. Somebody says, you can do it. You're going to do it. In Jesus' name, we're going to make it. Don't just stay stuck on the bitter herbs. You got the Lamb of God. The sweet Lamb of Jesus. Can you give me a chair, brother? Can you bring a chair here? And let me share. I'm gonna finish off. I just got off my notes. No. And I was sitting in the doctor's office with my wife, waiting for, you know, do what they had to do when they called my name. And I just sat there. And all of a sudden, there was a candy machine right in front of me. And I looked up, and you know, this kind of all this stuff. And I saw a package of M&Ms. And I told my wife, wow, can you get me some? And she said, no, you cannot eat that stuff. You know, she kids me not eating sweets. And I love sweets. And you too. All of us do. It's not good for us, but we love it. And I'm sitting there, and finally she gave me some coins. I went, I said, I'm not going to eat it. I just want to get that M&M to just hold it on my hands. So I went, got the M&Ms out of the machine, and went sit down. And I tell you what I did, because some time back, something happened to me. And the Bible talks about King Amaziah going to a battle, and he hired 100,000 more soldiers from Israel to help out because he was facing a stronger army. And he paid, the Bible says, 100 talents of silver, according to theologians, equivalent to billions of dollars today. Somebody says it was equivalent like a $38 billion. So that's a lot of money. But the prophet of God came and spoke to him and says, listen, don't go to the battle because God is not with Israel right now. Don't go. And the king comes and tells the men of God, but now what am I going to do after I pay these people 100 talents of silver? And this was the answer of the prophet, the man of God. My God is able to give you much more. Let me say to somebody here, I don't care what you lost. I don't care what I lost. Our God is able to give us much more. Hallelujah. The Lamb is the God of much more. You might be eating some bitter herbs, but I want you to fix your eyes on the Lamb of God. He is the God of much more. He can give you more abundantly than you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within you. We serve the God of much more. That's what I carry. M&M. Much more. And I wrote down in the back the miracles that God has performed in my life. And the miracles even of provision. Yeah. Because he's a God of much more. Yeah. And where he returns what the devil took from you, he's always give you something better and bigger. That's the God we serve. The God, the Lamb is the God of much more. Don't feel depressed. Don't get yourself down. Get up. Keep moving. Keep pushing. Keep preaching. Keep singing. Keep testifying. Don't stop. Don't get stuck on the bitter herbs. Let the bitter make you better, but not bitter. And so I wrote it down. Pastor Randy Underwood, are you here? I know I saw you. Where are you? Where? You here? Lift up your hand if you're here. I saw him last night. Randy Underwood, pastor in Yuba City. Where? Oh, there you are. Lift up your hand and say, I'm here. Don't be intimidated by all these people here. I'm not. And you think it's easy to stay up here after you hearing Sister Mika and Brother Tony? No, but I did it. I got some props for courage. He saw the building. You talk about California, talk about the Bay Area. Yeah. Things are not cheap. I think of Brother Ivan right here, the Spanish pastor of this church here, POA. But he's my boy still. Right. I baptized him, taught him my Bible study, the whole family. Three preachers in his family. They all pastor. But I baptized. His dad was putting something on the car. I think from the auto parts, when I walked out, and they're from Mexico, I'm from Ecuador, so we speak Spanish, but my Spanish is different. They, when they speak Spanish, Mexican people, they kind of sing. They have this, this got this little accent, like they're singing. Allá en el rancho grande. Something like that. The Ecuadorian Spanish is a little different, but we understand. So I approach him and I say, hey, what you guys have? They said, ah, oh, something wrong with them. They put in God. And I met the dad, went to their house, started my Bible study, baptized the whole family. They're all serving the Lord now. And anyway, let's go back to the story. There is my friend right there, Pastor Underwood in Yuba City. And he is a building contractor. Thank you for your help. You also my boat. That's a good thing. He is my friend. And he came and saw that building. I'm talking about California. I'm talking about 10 acres of land. I'm talking about 550 parking spaces. I'm talking about building 7,000 square feet. I'm talking about MCA Theater, which is 15, 18 years old max, no more than calling brand new. It's really a price in $16 million. We cannot afford that. They drop it to 12. I told the real estate guy, 8 is max. You put, you know, just submit that offer for 8. He says, no, it's going to be, you know, it's not even worth it. It's, I said, just do it. And he did it. And we didn't hear nothing for 1 week. After 2 weeks, the guy called, the owner. He knew it was for the church. We spoke to him. I spoke with him. I said, it's going to be for a church. You know what happened to our church? He says, yeah, I know, but you know, it's worth, this building that we're talking about, is, you know, it's worth $60 million. I'm giving it for 12. But now I asked for 8, and they just call, and they accept the offer. The whole thing has 3,100 seats. And we're going to, by faith, because we haven't got the money yet, but we are walking by faith. I'm not going to let the devil make me eat herbs. I'm going to get the Lamb. I'm going to worship the Lamb. I'm going to praise the Lamb. I'm going to have communion with the sweet Lamb of Jesus. I'm not going to let the devil get me down. No, I'm going to have the greatest revival ever. We planted 15 churches in the Bay Area, 2 in the South with District Superintendent Sal, Brother Hodges. I think I saw him. 2 there. Oh, this right here. 2 there in your district. Full-time pastor, moving, doing great things. And we're going to do more. You think the devil's going to stop us? The devil wants you to concentrate on those bitter herbs. This is only a side dish. This is not the main course. All those trials, all those tribulations, all the things that we're going through, that's not the main dish. The main dish is the Lamb of God. Keep preaching. Keep worshiping. Keep working from the Lord. Don't stop. Don't quit. Move forward. Don't throw in the towel. I love you, man. That was a bitter herb. And he has spoke in our conference. Brother Howard, can I tell him? He's Sister Mickey, to the whole conference, told him, I have suicidal thoughts. He felt so lonely. This is our foreign missions director. He says, I felt so lonely. You touched our hearts. You made us cry all night, my goodness. I felt for my friend. I felt deeply, deeply for him. I pray for this guy every day. Because you touch my heart the way you, he just opened up in front of a crowd like this. It's not easy. It takes courage. But look at him. He's still standing. Because he got to the point, and we got to get to the point to realize, get all the help that you can get. Go to the 7, go through all the stuff, go to whatever. But just remember, those just a side dish, the real meal, the real course is this one. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Keep trusting in the Lord. Don't get your head down. The devil wants to get your head down. But hey, lift up your eyes. Our help comes from the hills. I'm not letting the devil put me down. No. Because my God can do much more. Eminem. Every time you see him, Brother Ivan, here. I don't know. I'm finished. Where's the music? Can you give me a little music? Oh, yeah. The musicians even left. They went to eat. That's what happens when they put you at the end. Sister Mickey says, I'm sandwiched between two great preachers. I don't know who you're talking about. Talking about Tony, but not me. Not me? Oh, yes, me. Okay. Well, in your eyes, thank you. But anyway, that's what happens. Everybody gets hungry. But this is the word. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down. Don't get stuck on this. There's people that get stuck on this. And they get depressed, Sister Mickey. They got all kinds of thoughts. The battle of the mind begins because they get stuck on this. But you got to do is you got to switch. Sister Bess, that's such encouragement on your prayer life. Do you encourage me? And this is being my main dish right there. Yeah, I got to taste a bitter herb. But immediately I go to this. And boy, this makes you hungry, isn't it? And you taste that sweet lamb. And I tell you why, when you taste that sweet lamb, and you keep trusting in the lamb, and you keep pleading the blood of the. In fact, the greatest weapons, the tending weapons that we have in our spiritual reservoir is the name and the blood. And you just start pleading the name of Jesus and pleading the blood of the Lamb of God, because they overcame him through the blood of the Lamb. And you just plead it and you claim it. You're going to come out of whatever you're in right now. And God's going to give you much more. God can, I don't care what you spend or what you lost. God can give you much more. The Lamb of God. And without the permission of the bishop or the pastor, I'm asking permission right now. I print a song. It says B-O-T-T. Assure M&M's. Here, I'll give you one. She said, can he hear eminent? Oh, okay, eating them. She said, no, no, not this one, not this. This is mine, look.
Oh, okay.
You wrote your own stuff on that one. You write your own stuff on that one. You write. But, Pastor, remember this. Listen, come on, I love you.
I love you.
I see you like my old son.
I love you.
I really do. There's going to be a lot of bitter herbs. Yeah. But remember, we serve a God of much more. Yeah,
much
Eminent.
More. Much more.
Much more. He's going to do much more. He's going to do much more. He's going to take this church to another dimension of growth. It's going to be a lot of bitter herbs. But don't pay attention to that. You keep doing what God's calling you to do. And you're doing great. Yeah. Yeah. Where's my blood brother? Bishop Mike, I respect you. You know how much I respect, but you're my brother. Come and let me give you a hug. I love you more. I love you more. Much more. God's going to do. Anybody here needs a miracle. Anybody here has been through a lot. I'm going to give you one of these pockets. If you are, I got a few here. I'm thinking somebody's got some more, but I got just a few. If you need, I want you to come and step here on faith. Listen what God is doing for us. Yeah. The real estate that's helping me, he says, listen, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand how can this happen, but I do. It's because of the Lamb.
Yeah.
That's what, I want you to step forward. You need one, my brother? All right. Everybody lift up your hands up there. Come on. I want you to claim. You need one? Just stay right there. Put it up in here. You need one? All right, my brother. It's a God of much more. You need one? All right. Help me out, Brother Ivan. Give them to all these people there. Give them, there's so many here. You got some more over there? Bring them over. Pass them on. Pass them on. Pass them on. Hey, put it on. Let's all lift up our hands. There's some more. Get me out. I know I didn't do what I was supposed to do like I wanted to do it. But God is here. And we heard some powerful word all morning long from Brother Tony, Sister Mickey Maggot. And whatever I did right now, I want everybody. I don't know what you're going through. Don't get stuck on the side dish. Move forward to the main course, which is the Lamb of God. Put your hands in the air. Open your mouth. Come on. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I don't know if we can sing the song. Come on, church, put your hands up in the air. Open. We're going to eat. We're going to go eat right now. We come back tonight for a powerful service. But before we step out of this building, you got to step out and say, I'm not going to get stuck in the bitter herbs. I'm moving to the Lamb. I'm going to love the Lamb. I'm going to trust the Lamb. I'm going to preach about the Lamb. I'm going to disciple souls because the Lamb of God died for them. And He died for me. He's the God of much more. Come on. Come on, let's pray for somebody. If your wife is right next to you, if a pastor, fellow pastor standing right next to you, just put your hand there and pray together. Get your eyes off of the bitter herbs. Fix your eyes on the Lamb. Hallelujah! Oh, oh. This is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Come on. This is so sweet. The only way to neutralize the bitter herbs. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Lamb. Come on, trust Him. Come on, trust Him.
Just to rest upon says the Lord. And Jesus, Jesus, how I trust,
how
I prove
the greatest revivals, the greatest crusades are ahead of us. Thousands upon thousands, thousands. The Holy Ghost. Don't get stuck in the bitter. Keep moving forward. Keep doing what God called you to do.